A genre-disrupting classic work made up of a collage of different styles.
Delivered by a cast of colorful characters. This week, we're talking about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The album. Hello there, Mike.
Well, hello there, Josiah.
Hello there, and hello to the listeners.
Hello to the listeners. Hello, Mr. Kite. Hello, Billy Shears.
Billy Shears. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Rita.
Yeah, little known character from the Beatles oeuvre named Rita. Welcome to the show. This is How Star Wars Is It? It's the only podcast. That's
right.
Sure. And we rate and review things on a scale of 1 to 10. Not of how good or bad they are, but of how Star Wars they are.
Imagine everything that is Star Wars. So,
okay.
The 11 live-action feature films, the one animated feature film.
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm. All of the animated TV shows, all the other TV shows, all the books, all the video games, all the comics, all the board games.
There's so much in my head right now.
Cookbooks.
Cookbooks.
All the merch.
Yeah.
And that's all Star Wars, and you throw all of that into just the biggest pot atop the biggest stove.
Yeah.
And you boil it all down into a just disgusting chili.
A nasty chili.
And that chili, nasty though it may be, is a perfect 10 out of 10 on the patented How Star Wars Is It scale, otherwise known as the Hisui scale.
Oh my God, we should get a patent. What
we
if someone
should.
Steals our scale?
And it wouldn't be a trademark or a registered or anything like that. It would be a patent. Because it's an invention that you can draw.
Yeah. I'm trying to... That really is tickling me a lot, the idea that we get a patent for this imaginary scale that we made.
It's actually, sorry, I don't know that we've ever said this. This is the first time. We only just recently revealed that we pick a topic each week out of an infinite bingo cage, but we've never said this before.
Yeah.
That thing I said about the largest pot on the largest stove, right next to that is the largest, one of those sort of like scales of justice, like teeter-totter style scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we put the pot on one side of that, and then we put the topic on the other, and we see kind of where they balance.
Which sometimes is hard to put the topic on the other side, because a lot of times it's something that is not able to be physically grasped.
Yeah, like the word nothing.
Like the word nothing.
Now,
that one was tricky.
How could we possibly patent a scale, you might ask? Well, we take a drawing of an existing scale, and we change anywhere that it says inches to miles. So if the scale is like 10,
so
12 inches wide,
huge,
it's actually
dude.
12 miles wide.
It's so big. It's the biggest scale you've ever seen. Also, it's a metaphysical scale.
Yeah.
Because we measure nothing. Like, people don't get that about us.
No. They think it's a real 12-mile teeter-totter.
It's not. It's metaphysical. and you put... We take things. We take concepts.
Yeah.
And we put them on one side of it.
Yeah.
And that's like... You guys don't understand how difficult that is to round up something as a concept. Like, we have to go basically to the astral plane.
Yeah, we've spent like, years just getting all the Star Wars stuff to put in the chili pot.
Yeah, and that took a while.
Yeah.
You guys don't know, we've been doing this podcast for, what is it, five years now?
Yeah.
Right? And 5 years before that, we were just prepping, putting stuff in a pot.
Right.
Just putting stuff in a pot. Like picking up everything we can find, putting it in the pot.
If you're a long time listener and you saw that this week's topic was an album, like a record album, and thought, oh, they wanted to take a week off from prep work, the answer to that is no.
No, no.
Every week, every day, we are just wrangling.
Yeah. Stuff.
Ephemera.
You guys don't know how much Star Wars stuff there is. It's basically infinite. And also, you don't know how hard it is to take what is like an album. Yeah, this is difficult, right? It's an album. You might think they just wanted to listen to something for 45 minutes instead of watching a whole movie. But no, we had to take the album, we had to somehow physicalize it.
Right.
Not just
like a black vinyl record in a sleeve.
Yeah, not just the record, not just the record in a sleeve, not just a CD with it burned on there. No, all of the culture around it.
Right.
All of the, you know,
all
sort
the personnel.
Of the personnel.
The instruments they played.
The critiques, everything, yes. All of it.
Yes.
So anyways, our job is hard is what we're saying.
Yeah.
We have
and
a lot
we
to
don't
do.
Like doing it.
But someone's gotta.
Yeah.
Anyway. And it's us. Anyways, what are we talking about?
You want to hear one of the stupidest notes I've ever written in regard to this show?
Yeah.
With specific regard to today's topic, and it's especially funny since we just spent the first 10 minutes talking about the world's largest balancing scale. I wrote this today as I was listening to Sgt. Pepper and reading the Wikipedia article. I need to allow our podcast to be a silly Star Wars adjacent show and tone down the reverence and the inner voice that's saying, dude, it's the Beatles. It's Sgt. Pepper. You have to do your homework and research and give an exhaustive history and critical blah, blah, blah. Just remember, at the end of this episode, you're going to say something stupid like, I give Sgt. Pepper a 3 out of 10 fixed holes. So, like, relax. Plus, you're recording 2 episodes tonight, so don't blather on.
That is a very astute note, I think. Because
like, my inclination, if we, like, want to talk about anything Beatles, is right. Even... It's certainly... The reverence at some point I once had for Star Wars is, like, so gone at this point.
Right.
Like, we just talk about it so much. But, like... talking about like Olivia Rodrigo's guts is like, mm-hmm. I liked this song, I didn't like that song, but talking about Sgt. Pepper
yeah.
is like, oh, well, I feel like we at least at some point need to talk about all of the influences that went into the album and the records that came before it.
yeah. And the fact that it was like an early concept album.
Yeah, arguably the first by some stakes.
yeah. I think, okay, well, this is a good start. So you are a big Beatles fan, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty big Beatles fan.
Yeah.
I am like a medium fan, or I was like back in the day, like in high school and college, I listened to a decent amount, but it was just the one album, you know, of all their number one hits. And then couple like burnt CDs of like more B-side hits with that my friend made for me. So that was kind of my, and then also just like Across the Universe.
Yeah. Because
that was a huge one for me and my friends when it came out.
Yeah. Like
the movie
11th
Across the Universe,
grade
I should say.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really huge for like theater kids.
Yep.
And people who liked musicals and people who liked the Beatles. And we were all three of those things in high school, and so we loved that movie.
Man, we should talk about that. We just watched Moulin Rouge. It was my first time watching it last night.
I can't believe you'd never seen Moulin Rouge.
Same vibe, kind of.
Yeah, like
it's like we're gonna use whatever music we want, and we're gonna tell this kind of like my version of what Paris was like in 1899, or in Across the Universe. It's like we're gonna tell a like cartoon version of the 60s.
Yeah, and it's like, is Vietnam happening? Who cares?
Yeah, kind of.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I would love to cover that. It's been a while since I've seen it, both Moulin Rouge and Across the Universe, and I think both would make for interest. Maybe we're setting up for a future episode.
Yeah, we might have to do those.
Those would both be really fun. So I was sort of a medium Beatles fan. You're sort of a bigger Beatles fan. So that's where we're coming at this from. I don't have a lot of reverence, I would say. I have like respect for, you know, what the Beatles did as artists, but we've also like weirdly talked about the Beatles a lot on this show.
Yeah, I think so.
But not in a way of talking. It's always from the aspect of, well, if Silver Sun Pickups was around in the 60s,
the
they would have been the Beatles.
Joke. Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Which, you know, I was like, I feel like we talked about Sgt. Pepper when we talked about Sam's Town by the Killers. So I went back and listened to a good chunk of that episode today.
Yeah.
And first of all, exactly 5 minutes in to episode 198. And this is probably going to be like 268 or 269, something like that. So like 80 episodes ago, which means 80 weeks ago.
Oh, jeez Louise.
5 minutes in, I said that Sam's Town is like Sgt. Pepper. Wow. And then later on, I said specifically, this album is like if Bruce Springsteen did Sgt. Pepper in 2006 in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it is.
Later in that episode, I said something to the tune of like, but look, we got to keep going because we're recording two episodes tonight and this is the first one. And I was like, oh my God.
It's happening again.
And then there was some other thing, some other joke we mentioned about the idea of infinity. And then we said, not to reference an episode we did like 3 weeks ago, the episode Infinity came out three episodes prior to Sam's Town. And our episode of Nothing just came out like three or four episodes prior to this one. Are we on like a loop?
I think we're stuck in a loop. Time is a flat circle. We're stuck in a loop.
Yeah.
Oh no. There is nothing new under the sun.
No.
And we are just
parodies
of ourselves at this point.
This album was new.
Yeah.
In 1967, this record came out and it was like, no one had ever heard something like this.
No. Because this was, I'm just reading through the wiki real quick at the beginning here. So this was after the Beatles were already like, we're not touring anymore.
Right.
Which, if I remember correctly, was because of sound limitations at the time. Like,
yeah, it was just like screaming.
You literally couldn't hear them live anymore because there were too many people and they were too excited. And speakers hadn't developed enough yet to overwhelm that amount of noise.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of also that Steve Martin thing that he's talked about in his book of like, people came to see the event, yes, not to see, yes, us play music, you know?
Right. It becomes less personal. I think it's the same reason, like Miley Cyrus and I recently was like, I'm not going to do arena shows anymore.
Yeah.
Which, like, all power to Taylor Swift, as all power is going to her anyway, uh-huh, so I don't know why I said that. But, you know, it works for some artists, and they're able to put on a great arena show. Some artists, like, if I was in that situation, I think I'd be like, I don't know, this feels uncomfortable to me. There's too many people here. Yeah. I feel weird.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's hard to fill a stadium. Like, even, like, for Taylor Swift's opening acts, when I saw her, Eras tour with Charlie, Girl in Red was the opening act, which I love Girl in Red. They're, like, a famously lesbian band. Nice indie rock vibes. What does he hear? What does he hear?
I think like a motorcycle is in my house.
but they were just like, there's like an indie rock kind of vibe to them, and they did not fill the stadium.
Yeah.
You know, like their energy could not fill the stadium.
Sure.
Because there's not choreography and there's not a million dancers and there's not like lights and effects and everything.
Right, right.
And it was the same with the other guy who opened, I can't remember his name. But like, and then when Taylor Swift gets out there, she has this incredibly complex system of backup, mm-hmm, stuff to make it look good, but they didn't have that back then. So you gotta just be like, you know what? No more touring, and now we're gonna release a fucking weird, yeah, cool new kind of album.
Yeah, and you know, they were they're one of my favorite kind of stories, and it's like so condensed and bastardized probably at this point from in my own brain, but about this album is, so the Beatles released Rubber Soul however many years prior. And then, yeah, and then Revolver after that. And like that progression of like Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper is sort of like, well, Rubber Soul and Revolver was when they were sort of getting out of the like kind of just playing the same song
over and over.
Yeah, like they all kind of just sound the same, at least to, yeah, me.
Just like your generic rock pop at, yeah, the time.
And like Rubber Soul was like sort of the tail end of that, but there were like interesting new sounds, and they're like, I think that was where like Day Tripper was, then Revolver had kind of this concept, isn't exactly the word, but the album title comes from each song was by a different Beatle, like they revolved through the order.
That's cool.
Or sung by, I suppose, but written by, I'm sure, is in there too. Anyway, then though, this, you know,
yeah, then this
other piece of this story is after Rubber Soul, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys was like, fuck, like this is incredible. And, yeah, then he got everybody, the Beach Boys were like touring the country and he was just back at home like working on new music,
mm-hmm,
and they were just going around going like round round get around get around,
get around. yeah,
and he's like coming up with, you know, like God Only Knows, and, yeah, then they all come home and he's like, okay guys, Rubber Soul, the Beatles are doing some like exciting shit. We can't just keep playing the same song over and over, just like how the Beatles were. But yeah. Their song that they were playing was like, everybody's got surfing.
How good are you weather?
So he puts together Pet Sounds, which is
right.
revered as like the one of the greatest albums of all time, to which like John Lennon, I think especially, was like, fuck.
Guys,
and it was this like conversation across the Atlantic.
Yeah, I love that.
And then
that's
they
so
made
interesting.
This.
Right. They were like each like not like, you know, pissing contests, but like being inspired by
right.
another artist to be like, we gotta really step up our game.
Yeah.
You guys hear what the Beach Boys are putting out over
right.
there?
And
that's
like
so cool.
If you were to ask Brian Wilson a year ago, like, wow, what motivated this? He'd be like, we had to step up our game. You hear what the Beatles
yeah.
were putting down?
Yeah, you remember this shit, have you guys heard of the Beatles?
Also, as I was reading the Wikipedia page for this album, Sgt. Pepper, that is, I was like, you know, you keep seeing LSD over and over. Like
right.
this was when and one of the things I saw was like George and John sort of peer pressured Paul into joining the three of them because Ringo had at the point too, like in experiencing LSD.
Oh.
And Paul finally was like, okay,
all right, I'll do it.
And like then, you know, that contributed to the songwriting. Like it said that McCartney and Lennon were like closer as a songwriting duo than they had been in years because they were like on this sort of new plane of understanding of like,
you know, anything's possible, peace and love.
And I was reading that, I was like, man, wow, like the story of the Beatles is part of what the Beatles is, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And I was thinking about like the songs in this album and like, you know, some of them are like indelible pieces of canon culture forever, and
yeah.
then there's also like goofy shit.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, this is the document of four guys in their mid-20s who tried acid. Like,
yeah.
think of how many documents of four guys in their mid-20s who tried acid aren't even fucking close to this.
No, not even close. It's incredible that we have this document at all.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that they were both famous enough to do this
right
and be good musicians.
Yes, like I do generally really like
really shitty.
I generally like that Harris Whittles joke of like the Beatles are only revered as like one of the greatest bands because they got to do it all first or whatever.
Yeah,
I
mean,
like
not wrong.
That premise, but boy,
yeah.
like fucking Lennon McCartney, like
yeah. I mean, it is, they are a great songwriting duo, and it's like, it is, I also agree with the premise of that joke, like, to an extent, but then you also can't deny that they were good songwriters,
right.
you know, and that they did make good music, and they produced good music, right? Like, and we're also just very creative, like, and yeah, I mean, I have, like, kind of an interesting relationship with LSD, no, I've never tried it. It would not work on me because of all the medication I take,
mm-hmm.
anyway, so, most drugs, sadly, do not work on me because of all my drugs I already take.
But you're on LSD low sodium diet, right?
Yeah, the low sodium diet, absolutely. I'm on the limp
sodium diet.
Limp Yeah, the limp sodium diet. Anyway, but I was in a play about the guy who discovered LSD here in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I think it's called Bicycle Day, and it was a super fun play and a super fun like concept because like he essentially was just fucking around in the lab and was like
late one night
and they were looking for cures for like migraines or something like that, and they were experimenting with like pieces of, you know, extracts from mushrooms and other fauna or
sure.
whatever, flora I should say, and he got like a little bit on his hand one time and it made his hand go numb, and he was like, that's weird. And then later he was like, I'm gonna take that little thing that made my hand go numb, I'm gonna like distill it with, or like, you know, dilute it with water,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just gonna shoot it in my mouth. And then he did that, and he proceeded to have the craziest day that anyone's ever had.
Yeah,
because what he took was what they call now is like a threshold dose or a heroic dose, because he basically took about as much as you're supposed to take without hurting yourself.
So, and like, he just sort of like freeballed it and got it right.
He just was guessing. He was like, I don't know, like 10 milligrams, I don't know, and then just shot in his mouth. And then like later on, people are like, he took how much?
Wow.
Because you're not supposed to take that much. That's like what you take when you've done this a lot.
Yeah,
it's not what you take for your first time.
That's what you take once you've already bought the car that travels to heaven.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so he took this crazy amount. He had the craziest day that anyone's ever had on record. Because that's the thing, is we know what he experienced because he was a scientist and took notes about it afterwards. Uh-huh. And so they call it like the bicycle day, because he was just riding around this little like German or like Swiss town on his bicycle, tripping balls. And that's like what the Beatles are doing on this album, right? Is being like, hey guys, we tripped some balls and we rode our bikes around. Yeah. And we're going to tell you a fun little story about it.
Yeah, they were like, what if we weren't the Beatles?
Can you imagine? Holy shit. What if my name wasn't John?
Wait, okay.
Hold on.
We put on a big show. Yeah. And it's a different band, and they're a military band.
Yeah, and they wear costumes.
And someone probably plays the clarinet halfway through. And we'll kick it all off. After we've introduced the show, we'll kick it all off with the one and only Billy Shears.
Billy Shears.
And they're all like, we know who that is.
Yeah. They're all taking acid at the same time, going like, we all saw Billy Shears.
Yeah.
You remember when we saw Billy Shears last night?
He doesn't
we know
have
who you're
that
talking about.
Good of a voice.
Yeah. He's okay, that's funny, because one of my notes is not about Ringo. Because Ringo sings Little Help With My Friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that good of a voice. But then whenever John sang on a song, I was like, this guy sucks at singing. Like, I can't remember which one it was. Let me find my notes real fast. But yeah, whenever it was like just solo John, I was like, boo.
That's
like,
so
funny. Let Paul sing. He's not, oh, it was Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I said, John can't sing. That was my note, is that John can't sing.
I feel like I know what you're talking about.
He just has the most nasally voice ever.
The
and so
girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
And so it's just like this really through the face,
yes,
like vocal tone that's coming through. He's got that face voice. Obviously he can sing, like he made a career out of singing and songwriting and everything. But I think that Paul is definitely a better singer, is like the singer of the group.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just funny anytime I hear John, especially because like, dude, I don't know if you had this experience this time or if you've had it before, but I listened to it on good headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, first off, the stuff they were doing with like stereo going back and forth between mm-hmm. sides was like very creative, and also kept making me think that my headphone was broken, because I was like, why can't I hear the vocals in my left ear? And
yeah.
I was like, oh, because they put all the vocals in your right ear.
Right.
But listening to it with good headphones on, I was like, dang, there's some stuff I'm noticing that I never heard before.
Yeah.
Certain instruments, like instrumentation, and then just the fact that John has an annoying nasally voice.
That's really funny.
I had never noticed that before. Oh, geez. Okay. What are we talking about? How much time do we have before the break?
Other
Where are we?
Notes just about the album.
We're doing pretty good on time.
Oh, this is funny. This is not how Star Wars is it, but it is how, I don't know, 2007 Mike at his coolest, is it?
Okay, cool.
The guitar hit in Getting Better from this song, that mm-hmm. song starts, it's like, bow, 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 bow. It's like just the guitar hit. That's the like select sound when you are playing Beatles Rock Band and you like press the button or whatever to like choose a song. It'll be like, bow, bow,
bow. That is cool. Did you play a lot of Beatles Rock Band?
I did.
So did we. Yeah. We played a lot of... Here's what my friends and I played a lot of. Rock Band 2. Great game.
Mm-hmm.
Beatles Rock Band.
Yeah.
And then in Rock Band 2, our band name was called O-Sauce. Like O, comma, O-H, comma, sauce.
Interesting.
Because that was like a... Like fake expletive we would do sometimes. We'd be like, ah, sauce! You know, it's like a classic, like
a
16-year-old
boy
fucking
Reliant
boy thing to
K
do.
Ass.
Playing Rock Band 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish there was more Reliant K bands on here.
My, username on all those was Jammin' Bread, like J-A-M-M-I-N
oh, that's
apostrophe.
Fun. That's
but
fun.
As in tea, a drink with jam and bread.
Yeah, as in the
as in the dork solfege song from The Sound of Music.
That's really good.
Yeah,
but so we had this also, like, talking about Rock Band, we had this weird, like, also weird high school boy thing we do where we were like, every time we play Rock Band and Beatles Rock Band, we have to be shirtless. Like, I don't know why. It was like a bit, right? It was like, this is funny. Oh, it's funny, God. If we all take our shirts off, because none of us are in good shape.
Yeah.
And we'll all take our shirts off and we'll all just have our bellies out and we'll be like, squirtle now, squirtle now, squirtle now, now. Like, I don't know why that was what we did. But we did it every time. Oh, I don't know what our parents thought when they would, like, walk into the room and we're all just, like, shirtless being like, it was 20 years ago today. Like, what were we doing?
Oh, my God. That's especially funny thinking about, like, there is a common, I wouldn't call it criticism, more of just like a poking fun. Although I think Lennon criticized Paul when they were not friendly, that Paul songs are music for grandpas. And, like, it's very funny picturing, like, three or four high school boys shirtless doing Beatles Rock Band to, like, When I'm 64.
When I'm 64.
Yeah, which, like, of course, they have to do that Rock Band thing of, like, I guess the bass is the clarinet. And yeah, the guitar is, like, keyboard.
Is the sitar.
Yeah.
And not in that song, but in the other songs. Yeah, like, we also were lucky because we had my friend Ben actually played drums, and so we had the Rock Band drum set, right? And, like, if you're playing Rock Band drums, you're just playing actual drums,
right?
Like, it is just really actually how drums are played, gamified, yeah, on a screen to be like, play this at this time, but it's just actual drums,
right?
And so we were lucky that he played drums because he knew how to, he could do it,
because drums is pushing buttons.
Drums is just hitting buttons with sticks.
At a specific time. It's like,
yeah,
it's the most one-to-one that any, yeah, sort of rhythm game could ever be, is percussion. Yes.
That's why, like, there was, like, that Donkey Kong, yes, game where the controls for actually, like, a bongo. Drums. Yeah, because, yeah, it could be a rhythm game. But, yeah, and so then I was always on bass because I wasn't that good at Rock Band. And so I could do, like, bass on hard, you know, like, not, like, expert, but I could do bass on hard. And then our other friend Brian, who played, was really good at Rock Band and Guitar Hero, and so he would always be playing guitar on expert, and he'd just be like, it's also funny because the Beatles solos are never that crazy,
right?
But on Rock Band they make it go nuts, yeah, you know, like and Guitar Hero, like, both of them, no matter what the solo is, it's gonna be going crazy on, right, that screen if it's on expert. And so
those,
he was always
are
shredding.
So funny because more often than not, the, like, really crazy solos, if you're playing on, like, easy mode, you're, yeah, seeing what they're doing, where it's just like, oh, I press the green button once and that counts for, like, six notes or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah,
yeah, like, if it's a Beatles solo and they have to make it difficult, they're just, like, making up.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
rests.
Like, I don't know, green, red, blue, green, red, blue, green, red, blue. It's, yeah, like, there was only one note there the whole time. And they're like, we had to make it hard.
Yeah. In like, so old Beatles songs, which is so funny to say because they were a band for, like, 10 years, maybe not even.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
old Beatles. But, like, you'll hear John be like, take it, George, or whatever. And it's like, doing, 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 doing.
I was doing an audition the other day for Million Dollar Quartet, like, for the understudy role of Johnny Cash.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I played Folsom Prison Blues, and I was just laughing at the solo in that too, because it's just like,
yeah,
and that's it. That's the whole thing. And I was like, we've come so far.
Yeah,
like, the fact that that was, like, in the 60s or whatever that was with Johnny Cash. I guess it would have been the 50s. No, was it the 60s? I can't remember. Anyway. Was like, they were fucking like, this is some magic right here.
There is a do you ever 50s, watch the, right? Birthday Boys TV show?
I did, actually. Yeah,
the sketch that was like all these, like, old rockers talking about, like, the music that inspired them, and it's like, mm-hmm, old early days of recording technology, like American blues, which I think what they were doing was, like, riffing on the documentary It Might Get Loud, which was like The Edge and Jimmy Page and Jack White like fucking around. And like Jack White's whole segment was all about like early American blues, like dawn of recording technology. And sure. like a lot of times you just hear like a guy singing and it would just be like clapping or like a two string guitar because all the other strings broke and you'd have to go to Kansas City to get new strings. And like watching Jack White listen, he's just like so entranced. And I think that is what they're making fun of, because the songs they're referencing as being like definitive to rock and roll or whatever were these like old blues guys called like Slow Willie or whatever, and the song would be like, "Oh, there's a bug on me."
I mean, that's not inaccurate. Also, it was 1953, Frozen Prison Blues, just looked it up. But that's not inaccurate, because like, yes, because no one knew what they were doing. I mean, they did, because you had like really incredible songwriters, but they were doing, we've just like, it's the on the shoulders of giants thing, right? Because like now at this point, old blues music sounds like baby music to us, like sometimes depending on the song,
right?
But then like we've built on that so much,
right,
that nowadays it's like a solo is like, and then back then it was like,
yeah,
and it's like they're like amazing.
Speaking of shoulders of giants, this album, I copied a bunch of the notes from the wiki, but actually this isn't one that I copied, I don't think, but it, you know, it's talking about the legacy and how it's influenced any number of essentially any concept album, especially the sort of early rock operas in the late 60s. But one of the other things was like glam rock as like a thing that kind of happened like only a few years later, like Bowie and T-Rex and those guys. The idea of like you are performing as a character, like a Ziggy Stardust, say, like it would seem as though people are even attributing that to this album.
That's interesting.
Which is what they're doing.
Yeah. That's not like that far off.
Which is just like so interesting. Like the on the shoulders of giants thing, even just like a couple years later.
Yeah.
Like
literally
other
like
bands
not that
at the time. It'd be like, you know, us being inspired by another improv group that is running concurrently with us.
With us.
Like,
yes. Same with the Beach Boys.
Which happens.
Yeah, totally.
But like, you know, that other improv group is the Beatles.
Yeah. How freaking complimentary to make something and then like a couple years later you're like, I think David Bowie's copying us.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
David Bowie loved John Lennon too. Like,
really?
He was always doing Lennon.
They were both motherfuckers.
There was this like collection of like early Bowie songs, like before he was even going by David Bowie. And one of them, like his voice, even it sounds like he's doing a John Lennon impression.
Doing a Lennon.
And did songs with him.
Yeah. That's crazy, man. What a time for music. Do we need to go to the break?
Yeah. So. Gosh, we haven't even talked about
time.
The album cover.
Great album cover. Iconic,
covered with
also,
people who are famous.
I want to say this is something I brought up with the Guts album by Olivia Rodrigo, because we were talking about like album lengths, because people were like up in arms because their album was so short. Guess how long this album is.
Yeah, it's only like 40 minutes, I think, right?
This album is 24 seconds longer than Guts.
Wow. And those 20 seconds are at the end, and it's just, it can't it could be any other way, never could be any other way,
never could be any other way. Yeah, it's just nonsense.
At least hers were all songs.
And then, and they put that specifically in there to beat Guts. They were like, we have to be longer than Guts.
That actually crossed my mind today. I was like, this album came out 10 years before Star Wars.
Yes.
So
true.
You could even probably make a like half-hearted argument that Star Wars was inspired by this.
I mean, costumes, psychedelia.
And the idea that like you can kind of cobble together a lot of disparate aesthetics into one thing.
To one whole.
Because like Within You, Without You, the very like India-inspired sitar like slog.
Yeah,
is immediately followed by When I'm 64.
Yeah, yeah, which is just like don't down,
which
down.
Is like not even rock and roll. It's not even like pop. It's like pop for like their parents' age.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's old timey.
Yeah,
pop. But yeah, let's run to the break and then we can come back and play Smish a Piss.
Yes, let's do that.
Whee!
Yahoo!
Do you smell that? It's Bullshit Alert, the podcast where we lie, cheat, steal, and sometimes, yes, sometimes, it's the truth. Think you can sniff it out? Join Stephen Carter, Danny Marshall, and Lily Moss each week where we invite new guests, new stories, and of course, new bullshit. Find Bullshit Alert on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts.
And we're...
64.
64. I was going to say 64. There we go.
I wanted to play. Say this too, speaking of John Lennon being trouble. you know, all the people on the cover, there's like Lewis Carroll and Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud and Marilyn Monroe. I saw a note in the wiki that said, fearing controversy, EMI, the rights, you know, the music producer, EMI rejected Lennon's request for images of Adolf Hitler and Jesus and Harrison's for Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, God.
They're like, I don't know, guys. Can't we just do Laurel and Hardy and Lewis Carroll? Do we have to do fucking Hitler, John?
Yeah, come on, John.
That is when I was reminded, like, these were 27-year-olds doing acid.
Yeah, like, truly. Yeah, for real.
And they were the famous 25-year-olds in the fucking world.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's I don't know, great. Maybe we'll put Hitler on there.
Maybe we'll put Hitler on there. Why not? He was influential in his own way.
Like,
how
stop
old were
it.
They when this started? So, like, 1942. Yeah, they were literally 25 years old.
Yeah, it was like, I looked it up. It's like 24, 25, 27, and 27, I think.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like,
I cannot imagine being that young and being that influential already.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Jesus Christ. Wow. Anyway, so we're going to play Smish a Piss, Smash or Pass for the uninitiated, and we're going to go through the album and we're going to say whether the song is a smash or a pass.
Yeah, and this is another one, like I've probably already said, with like Sam's Town, with Transatlanticism, where it's like one whole piece, despite the fact that they are very disparate songs. And
yes,
that it is the Beatles,
album.
So I feel weird out of just guilt in passing any of them. That's not to say there aren't passes!
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a few. And I'm going to play the songs from my phone into the mic, because that's how we do it on this show. All right, make sure you can hear it. I mean, we could almost play the whole thing. It's only 2 minutes long. But that's the first part. And then they just do that again, and then they say Billy Shears at the end.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Yeah, I think it's great.
We have referenced this song so many times on this show.
Right.
On other album reviews.
Sam's Town, especially.
Sam's Town, for sure. There's a lot of albums that do this intro song thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, "Here, welcome to the album. Here's mm-hmm. a little intro song." And I love it every time any album does this.
Yeah.
Like, the one that I think of all the time. Did you ever get in the Panic at the Disco?
Not particularly.
There was a... I didn't like them that much. I knew some of their songs. But then they came out with, like, I think it was their second or third album. It's called Pretty Odd. And they took a real Beatles turn where it was, like, very... Everyone was like, oh, they're doing the Beatles now. That's kind of fun. Because it was like they went from doing this like emo, you know, weird punky thing to like just doing the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
And they have a very similar intro song where they're like, oh, how it's been so long. We're so sorry we've been gone. We were busy writing songs for you. And it's just like, they're doing Sgt. Pepper's.
I vaguely remember hearing that song.
Yeah, it's just like, and I loved that. I love when they did it in that. I love anytime any band does a Sgt. Pepper's thing.
Yeah, it's a band being like, welcome to the album. Over the next 40 minutes.
Yeah. Here's my thesis statement.
Yeah.
And it is Sergeant, and it's just Sergeant, every time it's just Sergeant Pepper's.
Right.
It's never not Sergeant Pepper's. It's definitely a smash for me.
Yeah. Same.
I love it. We're also listening to the remastered 2009 version on Spotify, if that matters to anybody. So I don't know if they changed some things.
So then Sergeant Pepper, I suppose, or yeah, someone speaking on his behalf, introduces to you the one and only Billy Shears.
Yes, Billy Shears, who then presumably sings this next song. I want to just go to the end of it because we can catch the last little part.
Yeah, that like transition.
There we go. Love the transition between the songs.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a CD skipping or something.
Yeah. Delicious. Super cool. Love this song.
Yeah, it's great.
A classic.
Who's the guy that is some list I saw somewhere where it was like ranking the versions of this song that are out there because it's been covered so many times. And the Beatles version was like fourth or fifth.
Yes. I was just trying to think of like, it's like, what's like the
Joe
one that's
Cocker.
So... Thank you. That's the one I'm trying to think of.
And have you really seen the video? It's like Joe Cocker live at Woodstock, Little Help from My Friends, subtitled for the clear-headed.
No.
Because he's just like, you know, like all over the place, like tripping.
Yes.
And just making sounds.
Yeah. It's
and
truly insane.
Someone captioned exactly what it is he's saying with like little pictures. Like at one point, he says what sounds like somebody's dad. And it's just like a picture of a guy like.
Yeah, that version rules. And also how cool to like write something that then so many other artists can identify with and like put their own spin on.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Like that's a really cool thing to happen. Including, might I say, me and my friends in one of the spring concerts in high school. Mm. We played this song. Yeah. We would always do like a Beatles mashup. And one year, God, what were they? I'm trying to remember what we mashed this one up with. I think it was Drive My Car. We like put them, we didn't mash them up so much as we just stuck them together and like played both songs in a row. And then like the first time, what did we do? I can't remember. But we did it every year with the Beatles song. And it was super fun. But I love this song. It's definitely a smash.
Yeah, it's a smash.
I also like how the narrative of it is interesting with like Billy Shears versus, because I'm like, is Billy Shears in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
I think so.
Is he a guest for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club?
Yeah, right.
He's just like, they're like, we brought him in.
I think it's like the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Like where there's like millions of members.
Yeah, exactly. We're in Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We all are. All right.
We got our names by going to a Sgt. Pepper name generator.
Yeah, I got Josiah Robinson. Can you believe that? Like, Josiah's not even a name. You got Mike Gospel?
Yeah.
Gospel's not a real last name.
No, it's not.
All right, moving on. We got Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Good picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
That's LSD, baby.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that we're playing these songs as if people haven't heard them before. It's like, do you want to hear a snippet of Lucy in the Sky?
I just wish I knew Mike and Josiah's take on Sergeant Pepper. Oh, they passed on.
Yeah. Oh, they did a pass on. Yeah. Nothing is going to be surprising, everyone.
No.
I like this song. I think it is a smash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. It is definitely like very emblematic of like,
yeah.
Whoa, in the man. Way that we talked about when we did Dark Side of the Moon, where it's like, oh wow, this like sounds like a high dude's apartment or whatever, but mm-hmm. like it was the first to sound that way. And this is yeah. similar, where it's just like, whoa, picture yourself in a boat on a river. Like,
could you imagine? What if a girl had kaleidoscope eyes?
Yeah, like,
whoa.
So to some degree, it's almost like quaint.
Yeah, it is. Yes, to our modern sensibility, it's like, aw.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of sweet. Yeah. They were like tripping on drugs and
we're
everything.
In a post-wet-ass pussy world.
Yeah, this is not the most surprising thing I've heard in a song.
Yeah, it is really funny reading the Wikipedia, seeing all the like cultural significance and criticism, and like there was never a Beatles album that wasn't followed up by like white Christians being like, ah!
Oh no.
But that's like really it's funny. Just so embarrassing.
Truly, like, to be like, you got so worried about them talking about like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of any other lyrics of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, like a dog with yeah. a weird face. I don't know.
A dog.
But I think it's a smash. It's like, it is a weird song. It's like definitely trippy. It sets the tone for like the trippy parts of the album.
Yeah
where it's like, this is going to be a little weird sometimes.
Right.
But we got to move on. We're running out of time. Getting Better.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school.
Can't
the teachers that taught me weren't cool.
No, I can't.
They're holding me down. Turning me round. Filling me up with your it's getting better,
better,
a little better, all the time.
Can't get no
less. I have to admit, it's getting better,
better,
it's getting better. Since you've been mine, we used to be
all right.
Yeah, I think it's a smash. It might be one of my favorites on the album.
Yeah, I love this song. It's super cool, and also it does this thing that like it wasn't super common back then, but it's like insanely common now, that I heard on like I think it was a Switched On Pop. Have you ever listened to Switched On Pop? Cool. I like that. I used to listen to it semi-frequently. I haven't in a while, but they called it like the pop overture, where you do like a little bit of what the chorus is going to be at the very beginning, to just be like, here it is, and then you go into the song.
Yeah,
so, like,
sure.
It's getting better all the time.
Yeah.
And then just right
and
into
then
the
start
verse.
The verse. Yeah.
And like a lot of like Taylor Swift songs do that. And like it's pretty common nowadays. It's like almost like a teaser for the song.
Sure.
To be like, here's what it's going to be. It's like when trailers do that thing in the beginning of the trailer.
The trailer's like, coming after this trailer.
And here's five quick snippets of what it's in the trailer to get you excited for the trailer. But it's actually cooler than that.
Getting Better is a smash.
Gigabyte is a total smash.
I think it is at least maybe my favorite so far on this side of the record.
I like With the Help of My Friends better, but that's just because...
Yeah, yeah.
And Sgt. Pepper's. But those are like nostalgic for me, so I don't know. Fixing a Hole is next.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go.
I'm feeling the cracks that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering where it will go. And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong. See the people standing there who disagree, never win. Wonder why they don't get in my door. I'm painting the room in a cold way. Yeah. I said it's a pass.
I like just, it.
I don't not like it. I just kind of can't nail it down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's funny. I think it is kind of British.
Yeah,
think it is the better circusy sounding song on this side of the record.
Okay.
I think it's got like a goofiness, like a sort of sideshow at a circus kind of sound, but I really like that kind of chorusy bit.
Yeah, and it's definitely not bad, but I like something's got to be a pass. And if I'm making a playlist of this album, I would say you can skip Fixing a Hole. I also think that I forgot to say I already mentioned this, but Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I wrote Smash. John can't sing, so that just a reminder.
Uh-huh.
And then Getting Better, I wrote Smash minus the beating of my woman line because that's pretty rough.
Yeah.
And also, like, maybe too autobiographical.
Yeah.
Depending on some of the things you know about the Beatles. But anyway, She's Leaving Home is next.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins. Silently closing her bedroom door. The note that she hoped would say more. She goes downstairs to the kitchen, clutching a handkerchief. Quietly turning the back door key. Stepping outside, she is free. We gave her most of our lives.
Is leaving.
Sacrificed most of our lives.
Oh.
We gave her everything money could buy.
She's leaving home after living alone for so many years.
Father.
It's pretty. I think that, like, it's almost trying to do Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, yeah, those, like, violin hits and...
Yeah, with the... Because Eleanor Rigby was unique in that it was, like, we're doing, like, a string quartet as a accompaniment for a pop song. And I feel like this is kind of trying to... It's got harp, you know? It's got, like, strings. It's a pass for me.
I really love this song. I think it was one of the first ones that I was, like... Oh, the Beatles have, like, sad songs?
Yeah, sure. I honestly don't think I'd ever heard this song before I listened to it this time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was, like, maybe two songs I think I'd never heard of. And I think it was this one and... No, this is the one I was thinking of, was this one.
Yeah, just I'm a one. Fan. I'm going to say Smash.
Well, you're insane. All right. Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite.
Uh-huh.
Of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline. The
The Hendersons will all be there.
The Hendersons will all be there.
All of them.
What a scene. Over men and horses, hoops and garters, lastly through a hogshead of real fire. In this way, Mr. K will challenge the world. Celebrated Mr. K performs his feat on Saturday at Bishop's Gate. The Hendersons will dance and sing as Mr. Kite flies through the ring. Don't be late. Mrs. K and H assure the public their production will be second to none. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz.
Anyway, that's all.
Yeah.
Talk about circusy.
Yeah. This one's a skip for me.
Really? Interesting.
Especially if I'm making like a playlist or whatever.
Interesting. I think that I can't separate it from what is her name now? Still Eddie Izzard or
I was thinking the same thing.
Cuz I know Eddie Izzard is trans or gender fluid.
Yeah.
But I don't know if she has a different name now. Or it says, or Susie Izzard. Okay. So, I guess both? Either one?
But you're talking about the Across the Universe version.
Across the Universe version is hard to get out of my head, which I actually enjoy the Across the Universe version more.
Yeah.
Because they kind of lean into the circusy weirdness
and
of
like,
it.
And like, just a riffing ringmaster.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's why I said it was a smash. But I like that version more.
Uh-huh.
But I would probably also skip this on a playlist.
Flipping
the record over. We got Within You, Without You. Get into it. Alright, it's just a lot of sitar.
Yeah.
What can I say? It's a lot of sitar. George is going crazy on this one. I say it's a pass.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of an easy pass for me, and it's long. And
yeah, it's long. It's sort of concept-y,
yeah.
You know?
I think it is, just like a lot of these other ones we've said, like, it gives the album the sort of eclectic, you know, it's like one more, if the Beatles are here in the center and they're pushing out into the world of eclecticism, that is like a really firm push in one direction. So like,
absolutely,
it makes the album what it is in the same way that like Mr. Kite does, but
yeah,
it's just like,
yeah,
not as likable.
It's hard to grab onto a tune there too.
Yeah.
It's I love that the sitar and the vocals like double the whole time. That's really cool.
Uh-huh.
But it is hard to like grasp a melody even. So,
I just wouldn't put it on a playlist. That might be the way to do it.
Same.
It's a really interesting way to introduce the second half of the album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you imagine in 1967 having to like stand up from your chair and like flip it over and then this is what happens. Like, huh?
Be like, whoa, where are we going with this?
Yeah, right.
And then immediately you get When I'm 64.
Oh,
my head many years from now. Will you still be sending me a valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd be out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Yeah, a song for babies or old people,
yeah,
but I love it.
Yeah, it literally sounds like clean up, clean up. I learned today as I was looking at the Wikipedia for this album, that whole song is pitched up a semitone.
Oh, really?
Like they use some kind of tech after the fact. So like, and I think it may have been at least partially to make Paul sound younger.
Interesting.
Like to juxtapose against the story of the song, the ancient old age of 64.
Mm-hmm. It's almost, I can almost tell now that you say that.
I know.
You can almost tell.
I had never clocked it, and I read that, and then when you were just playing it, I was like, oh my God, it's so obvious.
Yeah, he sounds like a fucking chipmunk.
Yeah. I think it's a smash.
I think it's a smash. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's like very, like, not stupid, but it's so simple and just like bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a fucking tuba in it.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It's like, it's great. All right, moving on to Lovely Rita.
Her shoulder made her look a little like a military man. Lovely Rita, meet a maid. May I inquire discreetly when are you free to take some tea with me?
This was the other one I was trying to think of. The first time I'd heard it was on this listen.
Mm. Oh, okay, interesting.
I had never heard it before. I like it. I also kind of think it's a pass.
I really like it. I think it's a smash.
You really like it? Oh, okay. Interesting.
They, that wasn't a term, meter maid. That wasn't like a term in Britain.
Oh,
and
really?
Like they came to hear it, you know, as an American slang and like thought it was fun and funny.
Yeah. Meter maid. That is funny. We're going long now, but that's okay. We're almost done.
Hey, at least we're not doing two episodes tonight.
Yeah, that would be terrible. What?
To do to save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day. How's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Going to work, the window people around. Getting the pain is not too long, then you're in town. Everybody knows it's not you. Everybody's cold, it's not you. Everyone you see is not me. You're on your own, you're in the street. After a while, it's
not. I like this one.
A hit!
Yeah, I like this one. It's sort of a soft smash for me because it snuck up on me. Because I'd heard it before, but I hadn't like listened to it in a really long time. And I like it.
After
it's
the
cool.
Rooster's done crowing, it sounds like the song starts like an emergency.
Yeah.
Everyone just woke up and they realize they're late. It's like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah, I love this song. It's also all fucking over the place time signature wise.
I was gonna say, I saw you counting.
Yeah.
And I was like trying to count along too, and it's really cool.
It's like 5-4, 4-4, and 3-4 at different points, like all within a minute.
This whole album reminds me, you've seen Walk Hard, remember Walk Hard? I love that movie, so funny, very influential movie for me in
great
high school.
Great record.
But like whenever he's on his like psychedelic or like I don't know if it's that when he's like trying to make the album that's like really orchestral and he's like 50,000 didgeridoos. Yeah. That's what this album in general reminds me of.
Yeah.
And this song too, like it's so everywhere. I'm like, someone in the back is being like 50,000 didgeridoos.
And even if they didn't have to get a rooster in the studio to record it, like maybe that sound was on like a stock, you know, album or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
still had to transfer it to tape and transfer yeah. that into the sequencing, you know? Like,
yes, totally.
They wanted the rooster bad enough.
They were like, we gotta get a rooster. All right, we're almost done. Sergeant Pepper's reprise. I just played the whole thing. It's only 80 yeah. seconds long. I like that one. I think it's also a smash.
It's great.
It's fun because it like shows you how the band has grown over the course of the album.
Uh-huh.
Because they're playing the same song, but it sounds slightly different. Yeah. So you're like, oh, they changed.
Yeah, it sounds like looser. Like they're like...
Yeah.
It's easier like, for them.
It's the end of the show, baby. Yeah. We're having fun here.
And again, to go to Sam's Town for a second, that thing that they reprise at the beginning and end is, we yeah. hope you enjoyed your stay. And they literally yes. say, like, we hope you have enjoyed the show. Like,
yeah.
talk about, like, a copy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it's a
all
smash.
All right, last one. Smash. A Day in the Life.
Today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. Blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was from the House of Lords. I saw yeah.
Totally a smash.
Yeah, the biggest smash. And then in the middle, there is a goofy little Paul song.
yeah, totally.
This,
and then a weird thing at the end where
like,
they're like, nah, nah, nah.
The album up until that point, right before that point, was like, Welcome to the Sgt. Pepper Show. We're another mm-hmm. band. We're not the Beatles. We're going to do all mm-hmm. sorts of weird stuff. We're wearing costumes. And mm-hmm. then they're like, thank you, everybody. Good night. That we have been Sgt. Pepper. And then at the end, it's like, Beatles here. Thanks for listening to our album. We hope you enjoyed the nice escape. We did, too. Isn't life fucking hard?
We're 25. Like, and we're the most famous people in the world. Isn't life so bad?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It is interesting, like, to sequence it there. Like, to kind of be like, hey, before you get back to your life... We just want to remind you how like rough it is.
The real world is still out there. It's not all Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Right. But then, of course, Paul's like, woke up, got out of bed, dragged a comb across my head.
Total Smash. An interesting,
coda.
Yeah. Did you only have one pass the whole time?
No, I think I passed Mr. Kite and Within You Without You.
Oh, right. So you had two. That's only a few more than I, or a few less than I had. We got it. We said we were going to do a short episode, and we've somehow done a long episode. So let's wrap up and get out of here.
We're sunk. Star Wars has music and characters. I don't know
what else. Yeah. you said the thing like this could have influenced Star Wars.
Sure.
They both have characters. They're both kind of like trippy sometimes. Like Star Wars isn't trippy, but like you could make the argument that like some aspects of it might have been inspired by like some more of like the psychedelic elements of art.
Sure.
With the crazy costumes and crazy aliens.
I just Googled, did George Lucas like the Beatles? And it didn't immediately like give something. But like,
I'm sure he did.
Here's the way that it's like Star Wars. We said this last week when we talked about Dune. Star Wars is doing Dune, but then everything is doing Star Wars.
Right.
And like, the Beatles may be doing their influences, like grandpa music or LSD or the Beach Boys, but like everyone after this album came out is doing Sgt. Pepper to one degree or another.
True. So that is, in that way, it is very Star Wars.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's a seminal work.
A seminal work for sure. I think it's going to get like not, I was going to say, it's not going to get like a 2 necessarily.
No, I don't think so. I think it's like 2 sort of like pop culture critically important.
Yeah, agreed.
To be getting a 2, even though it is an album. It's got characters and some kind of semblance of a story. I wonder if George Lucas listened to the Beatles.
I wonder if George Lucas listens to us. Talking about the Beatles.
He's one of the, like, what, like 50 listeners?
Yeah, he's actually one of our 3 patrons.
Yeah.
He loves our hot takes. Yeah, I don't know. I think we got to give it a rating and get out of here because we're running so long.
Yeah.
I'm going to say my unit of measure is going to be... Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, because I was just looking at the wiki, and Strawberry Fields Forever and Penny Lane were supposed to be on this album.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because those are both huge bangers.
Yeah, and they're both on Magical Mystery Tour.
Oh, really? Interesting. Love those songs. But I'm going to say my unit of measure is going to be Strawberry Fields.
Mine is going to be, I said it all at the beginning, Fixed Holes.
I think I'm going to give it like a solid... 4 Strawberry Fields?
Wow.
Or maybe just 3. I can't decide.
I think I'm going to do 3 because it is not a movie.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine to 3. I think 3 makes more sense. Okay.
You heard it here
3
first.
Strawberry Fields.
Sgt. Pepper gets a 3 out of 10. But remember, folks, this is how Star Wars is it. We're comparing it to Star Wars, and we didn't really do a good job. And
no, we didn't.
Of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz.
Yes, and also, don't forget about our patented scale. Because as we discussed for 10 minutes at the beginning, this is all going on a patented scale.
We talked more about the scale than we talked about Star Wars. Our wrap-up of is Sgt. Pepper Star Wars was, do you think George Lucas listened to the Beatles? I don't know. 4, 3?
4, 3? Who cares? Anyway, let's go. Let's see what we got. We got...
You're right. We spent 20 minutes, like, listening to most of Sgt. Pepper being like, interesting. This is an interesting song. Oh, God.
Okay, so... We have, so I think we'll read this email on the second, the next episode, because we had a great email that we didn't read in the last one about some logic leaps that we need to do corrections and retractions.
Yes.
But we'll do that at the end of the next episode because we're running long right here. Email prompt, email us if you have ever listened to the Beatles. No, email us. If you, what did we talk about? If you have ever patented something.
Yeah.
Email us if you've ever patented something.
And again, we haven't, and we said we did.
Yeah.
So more specifically, email us that you have patented something and describe what that is.
Yeah. Or maybe if you want to. If you have an idea for an invention, just email it to us. Yeah. It's a poor man's copyright, right? Remember, like, yeah. Mail it to yourself, email it to us, and we'll take care of it.
And that's all right, at agoodpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to, I jumped the gun here. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Stories Is on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com because that's what this is. Mike, tell them about the Patreon.
We have a Patreon where you can support us, give us $5 a month, and get a weekly bonus episode. That is every week, weekly, not just like every other week, weekly. We're talking about every week.
Every week.
And that's patreon.com/howstarwars. Is it? Tune in later this week if you're a patron to hear us talk about, like, humor and comedy in general.
Mm-hmm. And our influences and our history with it.
Yeah.
That's everything. Come see Anarchy the Improvised Rock Opera on Thursdays. And we love you. And may
I'll plug one other thing. You were on it, but I'm going to be on it this week, which means, like, later, or probably as you're hearing this, it's out. Our friend Ben Hebert's Twilight podcast, Bite Size, where they review each scene of Twilight, the first movie.
It's really fun and really fun to be on.
Mine is, I'm recording it this week.
Have the most fun.
I was looking,
everyone,
like, what past episodes there were, who I knew on them. I knew you did it. And the most recent one was my sister.
Yeah, your sister was on,
like,
this
oh.
week. Yeah, I know her.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out. And that's it. So Sandwiches of Star Wars, it's about time for to be bye-bye. So, like we always say,
we love you.
And may the fourth be with you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And of course, Henry the Horse dances the waltz.
The waltz.